Book of Luke, chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, not really a proper text. We have already preached a message from this portion of God's Word a couple of weeks ago. I would call this a starting point. Luke chapter 20, let's read verse 1 through 8. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he shall say, Why then believed ye him not? And if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. When we preached on this passage of Scripture, we just noticed on one of those days, when Jesus was teaching and preaching the gospel, the scribes and the elders and the leaders of the people ask one of those questions. And Jesus, in return, asked them one of those questions. On one of those days, they asked Jesus one of those questions, by what authority? By what authority do you do the things you do? What gives you the right to say what you say? Who gives you the right to do the things that you do? And like they question Jesus, we can face similar questions as we do the work of the Lord in our present day and time. We can expect to have people ask us, who gives you the right to be a church? What right do you have to say you are a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ? By what authority do you people there at Faith Baptist Church do what you do and believe what you believe? On one of those days, if man was to ask us, or somebody you know was to ask you, by what authority or who gives you authority, what would your answer be? What would my answer be? Would we have an answer? Would we seek to give an answer? By what authority, who gave us the authority to be a church? What right do we have to claim to be one of the Lord's true churches? What is our answer to that question? We preached from this passage of Scripture on the 5th of January. simply on the subject of authority. The following Sunday, we preached on authority again, AA, authority again. Last week, we preached on the subject, double error. Christ exerted his authority by pointing out to the Sadducees that they were guilty of not just error, but of a double error. He accused them of error twice in chapter 20, and I think it was Mark chapter 12. He said they err, not knowing the power of God, not understanding who God was. He said they were in error because they did not know Scripture. They did not know Scripture. We need to know the answer to such questions. We need to know that we have authority. We need to have the boldness that comes with knowing that. If we don't have right authority, if we don't have the authority to be here, the authority to do what we're doing, we need to be somewhere else. Or we need to quit and just go home. We need to know we have the right authority to be gathered here, the right authority to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said his authority in tripping them up, he stated the facts without stating the facts. But he said his authority came from the same place John's authority came from. John's authority came from above. John's authority came from heaven. And Jesus was telling them, my authority comes from heaven also because I came from heaven. I came down from above. Our authority comes from above. The Lord came to this earth. And while he was here, he was all authority. He was from above, and while he was here, he was all authority. And he said to his first church, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore into all the world and multiply after your kind. He said to that first church at Jerusalem to go forth. He gave his kind of a church authority. And that authority is passed on from church to church through the ages, through all the ages of time, until our present time. And we believe our authority comes through that line of churches that leads back to Christ. And the apostles, Christ and the apostles. This is critical. This is important stuff. In the letters that the Lord sent to the seven churches of Asia, or the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, six out of the seven contained some kind of threat from the Lord to withdraw his authority from them. Six out of those seven you find in those wording. Revelation chapter 2 to the Ephesian church, again in chapter 2 to the Pergamos church, again in chapter 2 to the church at Thyatira, chapter 3 to the church at Sardis, chapter 3 the church at Philadelphia, chapter 3 again the church at Laodicea. All except one, you find the Lord threatening to remove the candlestick from these various churches. For example, to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. You find that repeated multiple times in those seven letters. In the seven letters to the churches of Revelation, I think it's four out of those seven churches, the Lord speaks of compromise within the church. The Lord speaks of the Lord's true church getting too close and comfortable with a false church or false ways. And again, the Lord threatening to withdraw his presence. The Apostle Paul was the original church man. It was through the Apostle Paul that we got most all of the church epistles and the two pastoral epistles, which were to pastors of churches. Festus accused Paul of being mad. Not mad as far as angry, but mad as far as crazy. Too much learning has made you crazy, Paul. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul speaks about all that he has to go through in the ministry and all that he has to go through in his apostleship. And he speaks about, on top of all that, I have the care of all the churches. He was a church man, and he had a heavy responsibility in overseeing the Lord's churches, multiple churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9, Paul talked about how that there were many adversaries. God's men have many adversaries. The Lord's churches have many adversaries. In 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul pleads with the Corinthian church to bear with him. Please be patient. Bear with me. Because he was consumed with presenting the church at Corinth to the Lord Jesus Christ in his bride. Bear with me a little in my folly. I have espoused you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was ate up with the truth of the Lord's church, as should we. As should all of the Lord's true God-called men. What authority? By what authority? Who gives you the right? Jesus said, I am authority. I have all authority. And Paul went out and did all the work that he did with the various missionaries that he did it with under the authority and the direction of the Lord. And we exist today because of that authority being passed along to us. And it should concern us with maintaining that authority, preserving that authority, and not losing that authority. A church can find itself in trouble concerning this subject of authority. As I've just pointed out to you a moment or so back, six out of the seven churches in Revelation contained a veiled threat from the Lord himself that he would withdraw his authority. He would withdraw the candlestick from them. They may go on and be a church. They may go on and have services. They may go on and in every way appear like a church. But he threatened six out of the seven with his removing his authority from them in some way or another. So a church is always in danger. A church is always in danger of losing its blessing, in losing the presence of the Lord, in losing the candlestick, and having that authority, if I can use that term, withdrawn. Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, is facing some false churches having an influence upon her. And when a false church begins to have an influence upon one of the Lord's true churches, that church is in danger. That church is in trouble. The Lord started his kind of a church, gave his kind of church authority, gave his kind of church his word, which is the final rule of faith and practice, and gave his kind of church pastors to feed them, to teach them, and to show them what the scripture says and what God would have them. And we have to maintain that separation, lest in compromising that situation, we not only fall into the danger of having the authority removed, but having it removed. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We have a passage of scripture dealing with the subject of separation. And the subject of separation can be applied to individuals. The subject of separation can be applied to a church. The subject of separation can be applied to a nation. And I mean particularly Israel. I have had myself reminded that as I read these verses, and I read these words and I read these terminologies concerning the Lord and a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you find similar words and similar terms and similar phrases in the Old Testament in reference to Israel. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Again, you can apply these things to individuals. You can apply these things to a church. You can certainly apply them to the nation of Israel, as is revealed in the Old Testament. God called the people of Israel to separation, to come away from the world. He threatened them with their destruction. He threatened them with his withdrawal. He threatened them with judgment. In similar words, he asked them from time to time, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial or Baal? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You remember hearing any of these things from God concerning Israel? You find all these things scattered throughout the Old Testament. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We're applying it in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, to the Lord's church. But I'm saying there were similar words and wording in the Old Testament concerning Israel and its separation. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God is saying this to his church. He's saying this and can apply this to his individual believers. He said similar things to Israel, the Jews in the Old Testament. Come out from among them. He called Abraham at the very beginning to separation. As they became a people, and they came out of Egypt, a nation, and God began to move them towards the promised land. He told them and he told them, stay away from the world. Separate yourself from them. Don't let yourself be drawn into their worship, to their gods and their idols and what have you. Don't touch the unclean thing, he told Israel. He tells us as a church in our day and time, to come out from among the world, to come out from among the religions of the world, to come out from the false churches of the world. By what right, by what authority can we read these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18? By what right? By the right of thus saith the Lord. That's the right we have. That's the authority that is behind these words. They had that weight and authority behind those words in the Old Testament. They're certainly behind those words to us today. And God says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's no fiddle-faddling around. There's no middle ground here. There's no, well, you decide how you want to interpret that. He says, separate yourselves, don't touch the unclean thing, then I will receive you. If they touch the unclean thing, would the Lord receive them? No. He warned the Israelites in the Old Testament. He warns his church in the New Testament age. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's the weight, the authority of such a statement. I will be your God and you will be my people. If you come out from the world and come out from the false religions of the world and don't get drawn into their ways and their worship and their idols and their gods, I will be your God and I will be your father and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. For lack of a better way of putting it, that all sounds conditional, doesn't it? If you do these things, I will receive you, I will be your father. If you do these things, I will be your father, you will be my sons and my daughters. well, what's the result if we don't? There's got to be a consequence, doesn't there? Sure, there's a consequence. 1 Timothy 3:15 says what? Test time. We're not turning there. Save your time. Save your breath. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of truth. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for embracing. There's no room for letting ourselves come in contact with the false churches and false religions of the world. It's impossible to compromise with them and maintain our walk with the Lord. It is not hard, it is impossible. We're the pillar and ground of the truth, so we can't accept any mixture of error, any mixture at all. Ephesians 3:21, test time. Not turning there, save your breath and time. What's Ephesians 3:21 says? Say, unto him, unto God be glory in his church. What's a church? A local called out visible assembly. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the local assembly, the called out assembly, where God is glorified. In 2025, that is still true. And we cannot embrace false churches and false ways. We must maintain our separation from them, or we're in danger. We're in danger. Not only are false churches influencing us, seeking to influence us, and having an influence upon us as a church, the Lord started his kind of a church, gave us his word, said, I gave you pastors to teach and to preach you his word. And people are looking to other men, amen, other than God's man. Amen. That's dangerous. God gave all authority, or sent under his authority, his churches, gave us the final rule of practice, his word, told us in Ephesians 4, I gave you pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the benefit of the church. If we embrace error and false churches, if we don't stay loyal to the men that God gives us oversight of the Lord's church, and we look to other men, we're in danger. We're in danger. 2 Timothy 4. We know this passage well. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead, who will judge both the saved and the lost at his appearing. I charge you, verse 2, to preach the word in season and out of season. Why? Verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves what? Teachers, having itching ears. They shall heap to themselves. They won't be satisfied with the Lord having given his church authority, and the Lord having given his church his word, and the Lord having given his church his preachers and pastors. They will seek men of their own. They will seek other men who will tell them what they want to hear, who will tell them what is tickling, who will tell them what is pleasing to the flesh, who will tell them what fits the bill for them in that season. When a people begins to look at or look towards other men instead of the ones the Lord places over his people, a church is in danger. A church is in danger. You know, there is this thing called ethics in the work of the Lord. There's this thing called ethics and propriety. It's wrong. When God saves us, places us in a church, gives us his word, gives us men, it's wrong for us to run after other men. That's unethical. It is unethical. And you may never have thought about this, nor ever had it occur to you. But it's unethical for me, as pastor of Faith Baptist Church, to go out and talk to people who are members of other Baptist churches. It's unethical. I don't do that. In the not too distant past, we had somebody visit the church who wanted to talk to me and talk to me after services. And he wanted to talk to me about his pastor. And he wanted to tell me all the things that his pastor was doing wrong. And he wanted me to agree with him and to justify that what he did or was doing was right. And I told him, hey, I don't have any business getting into your business with your pastor. You need to talk to your pastor. If you have a problem with your pastor, then it needs to be a public thing, and you need to talk about that with the Lord's church and be very public about it. I have had opportunities over the years, and I have had questions asked me. I've been in revival services and had church members come and say, can I ask you? And you know what I do? I go and tell the pastor on them. I go and say, hey, you know, so-and-so asked me a question, wanted me to know what my opinion on things. Should I answer them? I get clarification. That's ethical. That's ethics. And we need to be ethical people. You don't have any right, I don't have any right, none of us have any right to talk about Faith Baptist Church to other people who aren't members of Faith Baptist Church or men who are pastors of other Baptist churches. It's a church matter, it should stay within the Lord's church. And we ought not to compromise that. Church is in danger when it goes down that slippery slope of looking to other men. I think about how nice it would have been to pastor years and years and years ago. Oh, how nice it would be. Because back then, you had the Lord's church, you had the Bible, nothing else. Just the Bible. And God's men to preach the Bible to us. But nowadays, we got this nasty little thing I call technology. And you got the whole wide world of error and the whole wide world of false teaching, the whole wide world of this belief and that belief, all opened up to God's people. And we can sit in our homes And we can look at all of that falseness. And you know what? You can't look at all that falseness and have it not affect you. Not possible. Books, materials, the writings of men that are error or who are in error. I've told you before about men who are rock solid on the doctrines of grace. But though they're rock solid on the doctrines of grace, they believe in baptismal regeneration. What can they tell us? What can we glean from their writings that's going to benefit us? Nothing. Because any mixture of error and truth makes it all dangerous to mess with. Makes it all dangerous. What does 2 Timothy 2 verse 16 tell us? Test time. You don't have to turn there. Don't waste your breath. 2 Timothy 2 verse 16 says, all scripture, A-double-L, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Nothing written by a man is given by inspiration of God. Nothing given by a man or written by a man or comes from man is infallible or perfect. I would go so far as to tell you and to advise you, God has provided for us what we need in His church. Don't even look at a commentary. Don't go to a commentary. Don't read what some commentator has to say until you know what you believe. Too many people make the mistake of going to commentaries and the writings of men to find out what they believe. And you're going to believe error when you take that route. Don't even open a man-made work until you're rock solid in what you know is truth. Then you might be able to glean some enlightenment or maybe some thing that the writer would say that takes you deeper in the truth. But don't even go to them until you're rock solid. And you're going to get rock solid by being in the book. You're going to get rock solid by being in the Lord's house. You're going to get rock solid by listening to the man of God as he preaches. And it's not going to be something that's going to be gained in a week or in 2 weeks or in a month or in a year. It's going to be something that is gained over a lifetime in the Lord's church. Layer upon layer, precept upon precept. God teaches us, and it takes place over a lifetime. And we have to be patient, and we have to listen, and we have to grow at the pace that the Lord sets for us. Years ago, preachers had libraries. They was proud of their libraries. They'd have their little offices set up, and they'd have all these shelves, and they'd have all these books lined on them, and whew, I have a library. I'm something. But if you looked at some of those books, you'd find a lot of things that just were garbage, were poison, things that just weren't true, but that's another subject altogether. I had a library, and when we lived at the parsonage, I had shelves and I had books, and whew, I was proud of that library. But then we moved away from the parsonage, and all those books went into boxes. And all those boxes went up into the attic of our garage. And I have more books in my library now than I ever did in my ministry, because they're all on the web. There's not a commentator, there's not a writer, there's not a man, there's not a theologian that you can't find So I have more books and I have more references and I reference more things than I ever did before without opening a book. It's just all there. But that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing when God's people expose themselves to error through these means. Maybe not understanding its error and being led and being deceived. Churches are in danger when we get too much into technology and we get away from the Word of God, the simplicity of the Word of God and the Lord's local church and our assembling together and His giving us pastors and teachers that we can learn a little bit at a time over the period of a lifetime, all that the Lord would have us to know. Look with me, Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1 through 6. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Keep my commandments. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not have any image. Thou shalt not have ever any representation of anything spiritual in nature, in heaven or on earth. You'll not have images, you'll not have artwork, you'll not have videos, you'll not have enactments, you'll not have plays, you'll not have books, you'll not have anything that lifts up something that is in heaven. And that you listen to or you're entertained by in addition to Scripture. I have witnessed in recent years a great ground-swelling movement of streaming things and movies and series and books that all portray Jesus Christ. And oh, it's so enlightening. It's so blessed to see Jesus and to hear Jesus speak plainly before us. It's not Jesus. It's an actor. He's an actor and he doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the authority to speak for Jesus or speak for the Word of God. God has given us His church, the pillar and ground of the truth. God has given us His Word, where all truth is. God has given us His Word, which is the final rule of faith and practice. God has given us pastors and teachers to teach us the Word of God. And we don't need some man acting out a part, pretending to be Jesus, and are taking everything that comes out of his mouth as gospel, because it's not gospel. You know what? If it's gospel, this is gospel. This is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ is the Word. This is Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus would say, if you want to know what Jesus would say, you want to know what Jesus might feel in a certain situation, read the book. Don't go to your television. Don't go to the movie house. Don't go to some book. They don't have the right to speak for Jesus. And you're doing a great disservice to the Word of God, which is the Word, which is Jesus Christ. When you sit there and listen to a man with long hair and his feminine look, and him telling us as though, well, when Jesus was all alone with so-and-so, this is what he said. Not if it's not in the book. Not if it's not in the book. It's wrong to have images and representations of anything in heaven or on earth representing God or representing Jesus Christ or angels or anything. It's wrong. It's a breaking of the first commandments of God here. If you want to know what God thinks, if you want to know what God said, if you want to know what Jesus said under any particular set of circumstances, read your Bible. And if you don't find your answer there, then it's not meant for you to know it. That's right. We're told not to add to, we're told not to take away from the Bible, the Word of God, the Word of God. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who said that? Jesus said that. He said it in the Bible. And if he said it, and God wants us to know it, it's in the Bible. If it's possible that he said anything that we don't know, and it's not found in the Bible, then we need to mark it off as he doesn't want us to know. Because everything God wants us to know, he gave us his Word. That's why the Word of God is so important. So important. Many people, again, and I've touched on this recently, so I'll breeze real quickly. Many people don't think they need the church, don't think the Bible is sufficient enough. They need something else more or easier to read or more enlightening than the Bible. And they need something that a preacher or a teacher in their local church can provide for them. So they think they can teach themselves. You don't have the authority to teach yourself. That's why the Lord put us in his church. That's why the Lord gave us his Word. That's why the Lord gives his churches pastors and teachers. And I'll wrap up. On the subject of authority, what gives us the right? Who gave us the right to believe what we believe, to do what we do? Jesus Christ. All authority is given unto me. I have all authority, Jesus said in Matthew 28. He said to his church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us his church, his Word. He gives his Word to his churches. He gives his churches pastors and teachers to teach and preach the Word. And that's all we need. And let me just go a little bit further. Not only is that all we need, we ought to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, get out of the old wicked flesh, and praise God that he's given us his church. Praise God that he's given us his Word. Praise God that he's given us pastors and teachers to teach us His word, let's get off of the bench of feeling sorry for ourselves and needing something else to counting our blessings and rejoicing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is still alive in 2025. Will it still be alive when Jesus Christ returns? God only knows. But a church is in danger when it flirts with false churches. A church is in danger when it passes up God's men and looks to other men other than the ones given to the church. When we lean too heavily upon technology and books and man-made writings and not the Bible. When we're entertained by looking at images pretending to be Jesus and listening to people who are pretending to speak for Jesus under certain circumstances. When we take it upon ourselves to teach ourselves and not get our truth through the Lord's church, through His word, through His messengers, the Lord's church is in danger. And these are real threats to Faith Baptist Church. These are all things that are evidenced in and around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to wake up. We need to wake up. God help us to realize how blessed we are that His church still exists. How blessed we are that His word still exists. So many things pop up on the radar, and I'm trying to wrap up. We are tremendously blessed in having this book. We don't need a new one. We don't need one that's easier to read. We don't need a new translation. Can you not see the error? Can you not see the danger of believing in a multiplicity of scriptures and versions of scripture? Cannot you understand how dangerous that is? When you compare them one to another, they vary. Is it really the Word of God? If you look at three different versions and they all say they're the Word of God, but they all say something just a little bit different, can you really have confidence in that? There's a lot of reasons why I believe in the King James Version. I have preached and I have taught over the years many times, and manuscripts and translation procedures, and I've looked at it all. I've probably forgotten more than I ever knew. But I have full confidence that this is the Word of God. This version exalts God and glorifies God and lifts God up and humbles man and brings man down better than any other version out there, if you just want to use that as an acid test. If it's the Word of God, what's it going to do? It's going to exalt, lift up God. And it's going to bring man down. And all your modern translations are reaching to bring man up a little bit. Make it easier to understand and be entertained by it. Bring God a little bit down to man's level. Folks, the last thing we want is a book that brings God down to our level. It's not possible. Anyways, we're so blessed to still have a church to be a part of. We're so blessed to still have the Word of God. We're so blessed to have the offices of pastor and teachers that the Lord's given us. Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, let's rejoice we still have these things. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one and let those be some of the first blessings you count. Let's stand together.